Outrocast.
AJ, aside from, you know, talking to dirt sheet riders who ask you the same scandalous questions over and over and over again, good day for you so far?
Yeah, no, actually, the interviews today, they're not like that. You know what's funny? Is that, like, there was a shitty narrative about me for years that was make-believe, and people are starting to realize that it was make-believe and all full of shit. Now my interviews really aren't any of these gotcha questions anymore. They're really fun, so it's cool.
I think you've had so much media training, whether or not that was ever the purpose of the whole thing, that you can talk your way out of anything at this point, on top of your skills as a broadcaster. So if I asked something stupid, you would know how to backpedal out of it.
It's not even just that. It's like, you were right, the media training. It's like, people don't know, I spent 10 years doing TV and radio before I ever got to, you know, that three-letter company in the sky. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like, this is not my first rodeo, any interview I do.
Right. So let's get the housekeeping out of the way. So if my research is correct, No Surrender is the next big event that you're part of for TNA.
Absolutely. We'll be in New Orleans, the Ilario Center. I love going to New Orleans. They have a great crowd that really gets invested in the show all over Louisiana, not just New Orleans, but New Orleans for sure. The last time I was in New Orleans, all I said was the words Roll Tide and everyone booed me out the building. So, you know, it's a great place to work, I love the food there. I love the women there. The women in New Orleans are some of the best women in the world. It's a great place to be. And it's always fun to go somewhere like you actually enjoy being in and getting paid to do it, you know? So New Orleans is, if you ask me to name my top five cities, I've been all over the world. I've been to 33 countries. I've been to 40 states. If you ask me to name my top five cities in the United States, New Orleans is on that list. So, I'm very much looking forward to No Surrender and Bayou Blast.
And Bayou Blast. That was going to be the follow-up question. And we're also going to see you at Bayou Blast.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Okay. So tying all that together here, it was a wonderful surprise to see you come to TNA. And you're doing great things in TNA. Did you come into the company with any goals this time around?
Yeah. I came into the company with the goal of proving how much of a talent I am. For the past few years, I haven't lacked talent. I've lacked opportunity, and TNA has given me the opportunity. TNA has already had me on commentary twice. TNA has already had me cut longer promos than I did any time in the last 3 years. TNA has given me leeway to do and say what I want in my backstage segments. And because of that, every week when they air, the one what I did with Rhino and Rich Swann, the one I did last week with Diener and Joe Hendry, please don't say his name. When these backstage that I do, the internet loves them. People are like, these are great. Oh, this is the AJ Francis I always wanted to see. It's like, he was always there. You know what I'm saying? It's just now the people at TNA, guys like Tommy Dreamer, Tommy Dreamer brought me in, and he believes in me, and he knows the level of talent I am. Mm-hmm. And he told me himself, he was like, you're filet mignon. A lot of people don't appreciate filet mignon till they get it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, he told me that. So it's like, he believes in me. And I've never lacked confidence. Once again, I've only ever lacked opportunity. So, like, to know that Tommy and Gail Kim are like, yeah, we need you to keep doing exactly what you're doing. You're doing great. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So that instills even more confidence in me. And then the guys in the back in the locker room are so cool. And then you have guys who, you know, because there's been a terrible misconception and terrible bullshit stories about who I am and how I am as a person. And, you know, it's been going on for years. And it's all perpetrated by people that have never actually met me and don't know me, never worked with me. You know [S2] Yep. [S1] What I'm saying? To have a guy like a Brian Myers go on his podcast with Matt Cardona and be like, yo, I didn't know AJ at all. I met him. He works hard. He's great in the locker room. He's cool to be around. He's a good time. Like, I'm happy that he's in TNA. Like, that means the world to me, because not enough people have stood up for me in my career. You know what I'm saying? So, and I appreciate things like that. I love my time at TNA.
So if I can keep the compliments going right here. So you mentioned before the 10 years or so of media training accidentally that you had, and of course a great NFL career.
Oh, it wasn't accidental. It was intentional for sure.
Then broadcasting you did related to that magical unnamed company that we saw you on A&E for, then your musical career success. Then of course you made it with the Uber stuff, et cetera. This question kind of, it's what I want to know, but Jay Gold from the Indie Wrestling Guy wanted to know this. What are you? Like when I say, who's AJ Francis? There's the wrestling, the music, et cetera. What are you? Is there a way to describe it?
Yeah, I'm an entertainer. I am the most talented entertainer in the world. And if anyone has a problem with me saying that, let's talk facts.
Or talk it, or take it to the ring.
Yeah. Let's talk facts. What's the percentage of people to play in the NFL? Let's just cut that right there. All right. Of those people, how many of them are good enough to be professional wrestlers? Of those people, how many of them have been on nationwide tours because of their music? Of those people, how many people have hosted literally dozens of television shows on dozens of different networks, from A&E to Fox to CBS to NBC to ABC to NFL Network, like to FS1? These are facts. This is all on Google. So it's like, when people ask me what I'm an entertainer. If you put the camera on me, you will be entertained. It don't matter if I'm wrestling. It don't matter if I'm talking sports. It don't matter if I'm rapping. It don't matter what I'm doing. If I am on commentary at TNA, you'll be entertained. If you go watch the last episode or two episodes ago of Explosion, I'm on commentary for Rich Swann's match. I'm very entertained. Okay, like I'll be on commentary for another one of his matches on Explosion coming up. I'm very entertained. So it's like, that's what I am. I'm an entertainer. And the thing is like, I don't go out there. Like, obviously everybody says, oh, you're trying to get yourself over. Yeah, that's the whole point of the gig, right? Is to get yourself over. But like, I'm trying to get us all over. I'm not just trying to get myself over. When I'm on commentary, I'm trying to get the Good Hands over. I'm trying to get Rich Swann over. Like, I'm doing it. I'm not just doing it for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's the point of the business, is to elevate everybody. It's an old saying, but it's true. The tide raises all boats. If I could be the tide bringing up everybody, you know what I'm saying? That's why I went to NFL media row for the Super Bowl and was on the Pat McAfee show and was shouting out the dates that I had coming up at TNA. Pat McAfee's never talked about any other wrestling promotion other than that three-letter company in the sky ever on his show. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if I could rudely interrupt you here, McAfee talks about having made $1 million in 7 different professions.
Yeah.
You're one of the only people I can think of that's the same kind of deal.
Exactly. And he don't even make music. So let's talk about that. How about that?
Well, I do want to talk about it because that's my boy.
Pat's my boy. And like, the good thing about Pat is like, I didn't go to media. Like, I went to Media Row because I was booked for other things. I actually didn't go to Media Row for Pat, but Pat saw me and his people were like, no, get on the mic. Let's go. Like, he don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to do that, but he did, because that's my boy. You know what I'm saying? These are the kind of relationships you can build when people know you're genuine.
So in terms of music, you mentioned Rich Swann before, who not everybody realizes is a great guitar player. There's a cool video of him playing Alice in Chains online. Moose secretly plays the piano. Chris Bay, I think he plays bass, but he doesn't talk about it. You have a very secret musical locker room. Is there anybody that you could ever see from the TNA roster collaborating with musically?
Absolutely. I'll collaborate with anybody. I just was part of Montez Ford just released an album called God is Good, and I'm on 4 of those tracks. You know, I'm an executive producer on that album too. I'll work with anybody. I'll work with anybody that wants to work with me. You know, me and Rich Swann, that could definitely work. I'm trying to get him to work with me now. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get him to be part of the team. You know, this true story, I met Rich Swann on the back of an airplane. I was a fan of his because I was a big wrestling fan, and he had no idea who I was. I was in the NFL for 6 years, and he didn't know me from a hole in the wall, right? Sure. So I've met him on the, we were in the last row of a plane on both on our way to make some money, and in different professions. And he was, it was funny because like we met and we became cool. And then later, like obviously a year later, I was a professional wrestler. So it was like, these things are just, it just kind of happened that way. But like, I'm trying to, I told him on Explosion and I told him on Impact 2, on TNA Impact, like, I don't fly in the back of the plane no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you in the front of the plane with me, Rich. And said, we can work together. We can make some money together. We can do some good things together. We both Baltimore boys. I care about my Baltimore people. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can do some good things. First thing he's got to do, he can pick up that guitar, but stop dancing with them people, okay? Them people don't care about him. Them people didn't pay his bills when he was down, you know, on the bad side of town, you know what I'm saying? And things was not looking up for him, you know what I'm saying? People didn't care about him then. So why does he come out and dance for these people now? He don't need them people. You know what I'm saying? That's a, he need, we need to work together. We need to collaborate. That's the perfect collaboration.
Sure. Well, the last question I got to you before I let you go is, with all these job titles, is there a field yet you haven't yet dominated that you might eventually take over?
Yes. And the answer to that is color commentary on sports. I've done it before. I've done it on basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, football. I've done it. But that is something that I have not been – like, I haven't turned it into part of my career yet. I haven't done really big games, you know. And it's the kind of thing that I always wanted to do. As well as, like, my dream is – 10, 15 years from now, I want to be the host of The Tonight Show. When Jimmy Fallon finally gives it up and, you know, they want somebody that can carry the weight. I've already, people don't know, I was already on The Tonight Show, not as a guest, but as a one of his opening monologue jokes when I did drive for Uber for the Dolphins, which people talk about me driving for Uber. People were like, why were you in the NFL driving for Uber? I was like, because I had only been in the NFL 2 years. And in the offseason, you don't get paid. So I could either spend money that I was saving up or make money in my free time. And I grew up broke as hell. So I know how to work for money, right? He said on The Tonight Show, he said, Miami Dolphins defensive lineman AJ Francis is driving for Uber, which is funny because it's the first time that the Dolphins have been able to drive more than 10 yards all year, right? Which is a great joke. Yeah. And I didn't care because I played defense, so I don't care that he was basically shitting on our offense. But let me tell you, offense coordinator Ryan Tannehill, Mike Pouncey, they were not too happy about that joke.
who likes there's no sports entity that everybody likes. If we talk about Tom Brady being the best of all time, people are going to go, yeah, but he lost 2 Super Bowls. And you're like, okay, yeah, fine. That doesn't make him the best player ever. Okay,
yeah.
You can't exactly please them all. But I'm really excited to see what's ahead for you in TNA as an in-ring performer, as a broadcaster, et cetera. So congratulations on getting to be yourself at a high level.
Thank you. And I appreciate you for having me. I appreciate your kind words. I appreciate the opportunity that TNA has provided. No Surrender, February 23rd, 22nd and 23rd. 23rd 20, is
I'm sorry,
Blast.
I got that wrong. You were right.
Oh, that's what I thought.
23rd and then 24th, yes, is Bayou Blast.
Bayou Blast, yeah. February 23rd, February 24th, New Orleans. We in Nowia. You know, I'm going to be out there. I'm gonna try to see Lil Wayne if I get a chance while I'm out there. You know what I'm saying? See Birdman, get the whole Cash Money, you know, every time I'm in New Orleans. I'm going to try to get Lil Wayne to come to the show. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to try. You know what I'm saying? Outro
cast. Natalia, how is your day going aside from having to talk to me and other media people?
Day is going great. I have wrestling class later tonight. So I have a lot going on, and yeah, I'm in a good mood.
Do I have to call you Queen Bee? What's the correct way to call you?
The Crush.
Well, thank you for taking the time again. And you have a lot of things going on. You have success as a wrestler, as a model. You're in this movie, Kill City Cup. Let's talk about that first. What was it like being part of Kill City Cup?
That was actually a really fun experience. Basically, they reached out to me and told me, do you want to be a part of a mix of wrestling and a video game? And I was like, yes, I definitely want to, because I love wrestling and I love video games. So that was like a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, it, you find that most wrestlers seem to be big fans of video games. They may not admit it at first. Have you, you've been playing video games your whole life?
Oh, yeah, since I was a little baby, playing my games forever. I had all consoles, starting PS1 through PS5, all Xboxes, Nintendos. Super Nintendo was actually probably my first one I kind of remember having.
Wow. So Kill City Cup definitely has a lot of Mortal Kombat influence to that. But you mentioned Super Nintendo, which is not violent. It was more Mario and fun stuff. Did you have a favorite game growing up?
Well, Killer Instinct was a fighting game on Super Nintendo. That's the one I grew up on. I actually played that one more than Mortal Kombat. And that probably inspired my personality to be lighting all this fighting stuff and acting. And, you know, like, it's not violent. It's not as violent as Mortal Kombat, though. Mortal Kombat has a lot of blood. That one was more probably like kids friendly, I'd say, but it was still a fighting game. And it's actually my favorite fighting game.
Wow. Okay. You've got great taste. I said that, not you. So with your career, you have been on a lot of different televised wrestling programs over the past few years, but you got your start over 15 years ago. Now, when you started as a wrestler, did you also want to act and model?
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah. If you ask me what is my favorite thing in life, it's wrestling. But the good part that it always comes along with the acting, with modeling, also working out, all things I love. And I'm happy that I didn't combine all in one and do all at once. I do a little acting too nowadays. I actually had the offers from movie and mm-hmm. a TV show. So I'm actually excited about that. Maybe we'll hear about it later this year.
Oh.
And yeah, I like combining all careers like that.
It has to be very difficult to be interested and able to compete in fitness while traveling so much. How long did it take you to learn how to go, okay, I'm in this city, I'm going to find the gym, this is where I eat, et cetera, the wrestler routine. How long did it take you to figure that out?
I'm actually not that crazy about it. I don't do everything. I go with the flow. So let's say when I'm back to Florida, I work out, I do everything perfect. But when I'm on the road, I don't have to go to the gym day before the show, not day off the show. I don't have to. I'm good. I'm not trying. It's hard for people who need to keep big muscles and be like in crazy shape. Luckily, I like the look of more just fitness, healthy looking. So I work out when I'm home. When I'm on the road, I barely do, unless I'm on the road for weeks. Then, yeah, of course, I find a way to make it work. But when I leave, let's say Friday for Sunday, I just don't work out Friday to Thursday, Sunday, because I still do stuff in the ring. I go for walks, which is also, it's cardio. But working out 5 times a week when I'm here is enough for me.
So it sounds like you have it all figured out at this point in your life.
Yes, not all of it, but I manage. I just like that my life is so busy and so crazy that I don't have time to think about what can possibly go wrong. I just do everything I can. I grab any opportunity I have. And yeah, my life is pretty busy. And I have wrestling school too that I do during the week. And it's just, yeah, a lot of things going on and I kind of manage.
So you kind of have 5 jobs at this point in time.
Basically, yes. But the good thing, you know how they say, if you love your job, it's not really a job. So I basically have no jobs because I just have fun doing what I do.
And then what's going on with the NWA in the moment? I say that because it can be so hard to keep up with wrestling. Back in 15 years ago, there was one company and that was kind of everything. And then now there's wrestling on TV 5 to 6 times a week, plus regional stuff. So for somebody who's not watching NWA all the time, what's going on? What's the next event? That kind of stuff.
NWA is on CW app right now. So you can download it for free. Go check it out. You can watch NWA there, older NWA shows too. And they update it every week with newer stuff. the next big event that's coming. Okay, let's say next event, not the biggest one. It's NWA Chicago, which is March 8th. So if you're in that area, go check that show out. It's the first NWA Chicago show. But the actual big NWA is Dothan, Alabama, March 2nd. That's going to be a big show. We already have a lot of ticket sales for that one, and I will have probably a really, really big match out there. So if you want to see me wrestling live and you live in Alabama, go to Dothan and check that show out.
And then Chicago's kind of a hometown show, right? Because the boss lives in Chicago?
I think that one is more like this territorial thing, because NWA are back to doing territories. So NWA Chicago is one of those, and that's a first debut show for that territory. So I think that's going to be awesome, because Chicago has a lot of great wrestlers there, and it's a big wrestling spot. So I think it was smart to make a territory out there. And he lives there too. That's the thing.
Were you one of the NWA talents that got to tour with Smashing Pumpkins over the past year or two? Were you coming out on stage and doing the Diamond Cutter spot?
Yeah, that's me. me and Brian Idol, my tag partner, we are an official video, Smashing Pumpkins Beguiled. You can watch on YouTube, go check it out. So now every time they play Beguiled during the concert, we walk out, do a little thing, and then it ends up with me hitting Brian with a cutter, which is a really fun experience. We've been all over everywhere, Madison Square Garden, sold out, Hollywood Bowl, all over the United States. Then we went on tour in Australia for 2 weeks. We did 10 shows in 2 weeks, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, everywhere, all over Australia. That was so fun. And we were doing NWA there too, and being on stage with the band. And honestly, for Smashing Pumpkins fans, there's a big tour coming up this summer. Please check that one out. It will be stadium tour, bigger one. Green Day will be the headliner. So something to check out, and I'll probably be there too. So you can see me live as well.
Yeah, that was my next question. So it's Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Rancid, and I think the Linda Lindas is the fourth band. It's another great band that I have to look up. But we might be seeing you now perform a wrestling move or two in a stadium on this upcoming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The biggest thing I had in life on this was Barclays. I'm not counting. I'm saying for music thing. Yeah. It was ASAP Rocky concerts in Barclays, and we were doing wrestling. Actually, it was an actual ring set up in there, and we were wrestling during the concert. That was so fun. It was huge. But yeah, these ones, stadium tour, it will be way bigger than that, and I'm actually excited. I can't wait to do that one. It's going to be awesome. If you guys listen to Smashing Pumpkins, and if you don't, go check them out. They're awesome.
Sure. Well, I have one question about the Barclay Center, and this is not meant to be a rude question. This is actually me being interested. So when people move from Russia to the United States, they usually live in Brooklyn, or a lot of the time the Russian population goes to Brooklyn. So it's almost like a hometown show if you play at the Barclay Center. Did it feel like that for you at all in Brooklyn? And it's okay if the answer is no.
Honestly, my hometown is Clearwater Beach, Florida.
Okay. Clearwater
is Florida, and I feel United States feels like home to me. I love being here. So Russian population doesn't really define where my home is, even though, I am cosmopolitan. Yes. All countries are just as good. I don't pick and choose. But Barclays, I mean, I don't think there were Russian people there, I got to be honest. Maybe a couple. It was an ASAP Rocky concert, and he's popular worldwide, but I think mostly here. So that just felt like another fun, great show with a lot of people. It was crazy. And it was like so fun because he's actually a big wrestling fan. He had the stunner on Brian. So that was cool. That was really, really, really great experience. And, it's a kind of special because, Barclays is, and you have nobody wrestles there aside from WWE people. So it was right. Cool to have. Actually, I've been wrestling there. That's a good thing, a check in life.
And you mentioned Clearwater, which is a city that I love. Beautiful city, great beach, great restaurant. lots of wrestlers in Clearwater besides you and Hogan and Bushwhacker Luke and all that kind of stuff. Did you come to Clearwater because it was a wrestling haven, or did you move there and then realize all the wrestlers live there?
Yeah, I think it's the second. I was just, I'm like in Largo, Clearwater, like I'm everywhere in Florida here. And yeah, there's a lot of wrestling here. But it's just a coincidence. I guess it's just the wrestlers love this lifestyle, like 24/7 vacation, basically. Like, why would you want to live anywhere else if you have water right here? Beautiful beaches, palm trees. That's a dream life. And I don't really wrestle in Florida all that much anymore. I mostly travel everywhere. I have, like I said, wrestling school. It's Fight the World Wrestling. It's in Florida. And we run our own shows. That's probably the only chance to see me wrestling in Florida is on those shows. Otherwise, I'm all over the place.
Great. Well, my last question for you before I let you go is, when you can control the music that you're listening to while working out, besides the Smashing Pumpkins, what do you listen to? Because you have the choice and you want to keep your BPM up and you want to stay motivated.
I love 80s rock. That's my favorite style of music. Alice Cooper is one of my favorites. I like U2, I like AC/DC, all those older bands, the Motorhead. Hard to remember all of them at once, but that's the style that I like. I'm old school in general, in regards of everything. So yeah, music, if you get to choose one, that would be the style.
Van Halen, is that one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, then we know that you have great taste in fashion, in wrestling, in video games, in music, and we shouldn't be surprised at any success you have in the future.
Thank you so much.
My experiences go back to after show hangs. You go to see a concert at Joe's Pub and you go, oh, what's open? And you go for that first time or two at Veselka, and then you go, this is legitimately amazing food. I'm going to keep going back anytime I'm in the neighborhood. Now, Tom, was there any hesitation for you to be part of a documentary? Because sometimes restaurants don't like that added pressure of everyone saying it's amazing.
No, I mean, I really liked Michael, and I've learned to trust him very early on in the process. He seemed to really get from day one what Veselka was about. So, and honestly, we always liked the attention, you know, we're business people. And over the years, we've been fortunate, you know, we've gotten a lot of media coverage. So, I was comfortable with it and actually looking forward to it.
Now, throwing it here to Jason, because I made you wait the longest, I'll give you a two-parter.
Okay.
One, how are you? And then the second part, do you have a favorite part of the documentary?
Oh, wow. I haven't heard this answer.
I'm doing great. I mean, we're very, very pleased with the final product that that Mike's created. It's been a true pleasure to work with him. We've Veselka is, you know, we're all extended family here. We treat staff like family, and Mike telling our story has now become a part of our family as well. Outro cast.